It's hard to imagine that God speaks to his people because he's invisible. You know, he's in heaven in that sense. We know he's everywhere. I mean, that's one of the attributes of God, that he is omnipresent. So we know he's everywhere. But in another sense, he's in heaven and we're on the earth and he's invisible and we only see in the physical world. So it's hard for us to even imagine that God can speak in such a way that we can comprehend what he's trying to say. We can comprehend what he wants to do in our life. And so the children of Israel going through the wilderness show us a great example of how that happens. And I hope this morning you will see maybe some areas of application for your own life, and you'll leave here this morning desiring to hear and understand God's voice. So in chapter 7, at the beginning of the chapter, I'm not going to take time to go through here, but this whole chapter talks about how the different chiefs of the tribes of Israel came and brought offerings and offerings of things to be used in the tent of meeting. I'm not going to go through that this morning. I want you to go down to verse 89, clear at the very bottom. And it says that when Moses went into the tent of meeting, and remember, the tent of meeting was simply a tabernacle, like a tent that God had the children of Israel build out in the wilderness, and it was a place that God chose to meet with his people. God chose that place to actually speak to Moses. And so it says, when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, listen to what it says. He heard the voice speaking to him above the mercy seat. Now, what was the mercy seat? The mercy seat was a place that had there was a box that was here called the Ark of the Covenant. It's where the Ten Commandments were kept. And on top of that was called the mercy seat. And it's a place where God chose to come and speak to Moses. Can you imagine if you had a room somewhere in your house or maybe a tent in your backyard and God said, come to that tent and I'm going to talk to you? How many would go there? I mean, we want to hear him, don't we? We would go to that tent often and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear what you have to say. And so today, I believe God still speaks. And you don't have to have a special tent. Because, you know, in reality, the God of the universe lives right inside of us. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So I don't have to go to a tent to find him. I don't even have to come into this building to find him. He's with me all the time. And God does speak. And we can hear his voice. And so God spoke to Moses from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim, and it spoke to him. God desires to have that personal relationship. He does desire to speak to us. He desires us to understand what it is that he wants out of this relationship. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you don't have to turn there, but if you want, you can. Elijah was a man who was discouraged because he was being put down, and actually people tried to kill him, and he was running away. And the Lord said, go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then it says, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. Can you imagine a wind that was so strong that the mountains began to break apart? That's what happened here. And sometimes when we are looking to hear the voice of the Lord, we're looking for something fantastic. We want lightning to float across the sky, and we want to see a finger come out and begin to write on a scroll and tell us what he wants. But the Bible says that even though this wind came, it was a powerful wind, and it tore the mountains apart, the Lord was not in the wind. And then it says after that there was an earthquake. But guess what? The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then it says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. So when we talk about hearing the voice of God, I don't know about you. I've never heard God speak audibly to me. I know some people have said they've heard that, but I do hear a still small whisper, because he's inside of us. He makes things known to us, and he speaks to us in that way. You'll often be around and you'll hear somebody say, the Lord spoke to me, or I feel the Lord spoke to me and said this or that. It's that still small whisper. This is how God spoke to Elijah. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, how many here are God's sheep? My sheep listen to my voice. That didn't end 2,000 years ago. I'm still his sheep. He's still the shepherd. He is still speaking. The shepherd still leads and the shepherd still guides. I'm his sheep. I want to hear his voice. Don't you want to hear the shepherd when he says, hey guys, the good food is over here? You want to be able to hear that and say, I'm following my shepherd. Or if he says, hey, sheep, there's a wolf over here. Let's make a right, or let's make a left because he's coming from this side. We want to hear his voice. My sheep listen to my voice is how he says it. I know them and they follow me. In the book of Hebrews, three times the Lord says this. Today, how many of you know when is today? Okay, it's today. Today, if you hear his voice, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like they did in the rebellion. And he's talking about the book of Numbers. The children of Israel were in the wilderness, and the Lord was speaking to them, and God was giving his voice out there. But you're going to see in the next few chapters that we go through, they rebelled. They stood against him. They did not do what the Lord wanted. And so the Lord says, hey, I want you to look at that book of Numbers as a type of a warning. Don't be like them. And so to combat that, he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And so I believe that today he still speaks. He still has a voice. Amen. It's up to me not to harden my heart against it. Now again, we're not being weird. We're not spooky. We just believe that God wants to have a relationship with people. The best way to have a relationship is what? What would you women say? You got to talk, right? I mean, we spend billions of dollars in our world today, billions of dollars to talk to people. Well, actually, we text them, but it's a communication. We're saying something. I want to know you. I want to know where you are. What are you doing? What do you think about? What are the things that make you happy? And we communicate. We build a relationship. Why wouldn't God want the same thing? He's not one who does not care. He cares deeply about each of our lives. Jesus said in John 16 that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, you know who that's talking about? The Holy Spirit. So when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Well, when did the Holy Spirit come? It's when Jesus died and rose and ascended into heaven. It says he has shed forth the Holy Spirit. So he actually came 2,000 years ago, but he hasn't left. He's still here today. And Jesus said when he comes, he will guide you. So from my standpoint, I'm expecting guidance from God. I need guidance from God. I need to hear his voice. But more importantly, I need to be sure that today, if I do hear his voice, I don't harden my heart. He will guide you. It says here, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. See, the Holy Spirit is here to speak what Jesus wants him to speak. He's representing the Father and Jesus to you. But it says here, the Holy Spirit speaks. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. This is in John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. He will tell you what is yet to come. That involves communication, doesn't it? He will tell you what is yet to come. And it says, Jesus said, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Jesus has things he wants us to know. He lets us know through his Holy Spirit. He speaks, he guides. The Lord also speaks to us through the gifts of the Spirit. We had some today in the book of Acts in chapter 13. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. What does that mean, the Holy Spirit said? Did it mean that the Holy Spirit appeared and walked into their church service and started talking? Is that what that means when it says the Holy Spirit said? No, what I believe it means is there were men there. If you'll read chapter 13, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers. I think one of those prophets stood up and said, the Holy Spirit says, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work. That was God speaking. It was another means, another way that God uses to speak to his people. And the Bible tells us we should not despise prophecy, but to take it and judge it and hold fast to that which is good. There's actually a scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 that talks about if you have prophecy taking place within the congregation and somebody comes in who maybe does not know the Lord or they're unlearned about these things, and they will hear it and they will acknowledge that God is really here. Somehow, God uses that person to speak something from God to the heart of another. So it's another way that God speaks. And I'm glad that God speaks to us yet today. In chapter 8 of Numbers, the Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, see that all seven light up the area in front of the lampstand. And so Aaron did as the Lord commanded. Now, some of you remember, you probably have seen like the Jewish menorah that has a candlestick with seven branches on it. That's kind of what this is talking about. In the tabernacle of Moses, they had a big lampstand like that with seven branches on it. And that's what brought light into that the holy place, into the first room in the tabernacle. And the Lord said, I want you to make sure that you light it and then kind of point those lamps out so you can see what's going on. And so when I think of that, I think of a lamp representing the Word of God. And so the second way that God leads us is with the Scripture. We have a whole book of God's heart, a whole book of his teaching, Jesus' words and the things that he wants us to know and understand. It's like a love letter. I know if you men have received a love letter, how many men have ever received a love letter from a girl? I mean, your wife or your somebody. When I would get a love letter, I would spend a little bit of time with it. Right? Because you want to understand what exactly does that mean? When she said, gratefully yours. What does she mean? Glad to have known you. What does that mean? What does she mean by that? So you have all these codes, you know, language you're trying to figure out. She loves me, she loves me not. I'm not sure, you know. But you spend time with this because you want to know, you want to understand. And God's given us so much in his word, it's good to spend time. And the Bible actually talks about the word of God being like a lamp. We live in a dark world, and yet he's given us a light, a lamp to see where we're walking. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. In Proverbs 6:23, this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. And in Psalm 119, 130, he says, the unfolding of your words give light. I love that. The unfolding of God's words give light. And so if I live in a dark world, I'm trying to find my way, I need some direction, I need some guidance, why not look to the Word of God? Why not turn the light on? Click. And see a light for my path, a way that God wants me to walk. So we see that God speaks to us with his voice and by the Holy Spirit. We see that God speaks to us through his Word. Another really unique way that happened in chapter 9, if you'll turn there in the book of Numbers, I would love to have been there to see this. And when I read it to you, it might be hard for you to imagine. But try to picture this. You're out in the wilderness of Sinai, like basically a desert. Roughly 3 million people, and they're camped out around the tabernacle, that little tent where God said he would come. And they're out in the wilderness. Now, there was no water in the wilderness. How many of you know that? There was no food in the wilderness. How are they going to get it? They have to listen to that shepherd. When the Lord said to them, Moses, take your staff and strike this rock, and water will come out. How many of you could believe that? That's hard to believe. It's like you look at that, you think, well, that's just a rock. And there's like 3 million of us here. You're telling me that if I hit this thing with my staff, that water is going to come out? And the Bible says it happened. And I'm simple enough to believe what he says. They never would have known that unless the Lord had spoken, unless the Lord had given them some light. And the Lord gave them manna to eat every day. I mean, God provided for them in the wilderness. But look at the way he led them. I'm in chapter 9, verse 15. On the day the tabernacle was set up, a cloud covered the tabernacle. So imagine this. You're out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden this big cloud comes down, and it kind of hovers over the tabernacle, almost like a pillar. A big cloud was there. And at the evening, it was over this tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. And so during the daytime, there was a cloud, and during the nighttime, it became like fire, like a pillar of fire. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Listen to this. It says, whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. How many would love to have that kind of guidance from the Lord? All I need to do is pay attention to that cloud. Once that cloud gets up and move, I know I'm moving. If the cloud decides to stay, then I'm camped out here. But we don't have that. We have something better. We have God living inside of us. We have something better. Although, because we are physical and we like what we can see with our eyes, we would love to see a pillar of fire guide us. Take me, Lord, take me. But he has given us his word, he's given us his Holy Spirit. But here it was, every time the cloud lifted, they set out, and the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. I like verse 22. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle abiding there, the people of Israel remained in the camp and did not set out, but when it lifted, they set out. The pillar of fire and the cloud. Exact guidance from the Lord. If it stayed a day, we'll stay a day. Stayed a month or longer, they just followed the cloud. It was an easy way to receive direction. And then finally in chapter 10, the trumpets. The Lord directed them to make trumpets, and the trumpets would blow at different times. Like, how many have ever heard this sound? What's that mean? Wake up, right? You hear that sound, you know it's a direction. How about this one here? What's that? Charge, you know, so you know when that sound comes what you're supposed to do. And that's what these trumpets were for. They made trumpets, and the Lord had different, you know, I was going to say toots, but tones are different, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And it was like sometimes it means gather the people. Sometimes it meant I want the leaders to gather. Sometimes it meant it's time to go out and march against the enemy. Remember, they marched around Jericho and they blew the trumpets. I mean, the trumpets were there to give a certain direction. And the trumpets in the Bible, I believe, are like a voice. It says in Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me I heard a great voice, like a trumpet, is what it says. A great voice. And this was the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the different churches in Asia Minor to prepare them for the things that were about to come upon the earth. And I love what he says to each one of the churches. Anybody remember? There's it up on there? Well, that's the whole scripture there. What Jesus said to every one of those churches, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hear. See, it doesn't do us that much good to be blowing a trumpet unless there's something in the heart of a person to say, I want to hear. I want to hear. I don't want to just know that God speaks. I don't want to know that he has a word that's out. I don't want to just know that his Spirit can guide me. I want to hear. I want to listen. I want to go to that secret place and say, Lord, speak to me. Let me understand. Let me comprehend what it is that you're trying to say to me. He has this relationship he wants, and he's given us every means available for it. But I find the issue oftentimes is we don't want to hear it. How many of you have ever gone to ask for advice from somebody and your friend gave you advice you just didn't want to hear? And you say something like, well, thanks, but no thanks. You don't really say that, but in your heart, that's how you feel. Thanks, but no thanks. I wonder how often we see the Lord speak to us. And we say, thanks, but no thanks. And I always come back to things like this, you know, where Jesus tells us, love your enemy. You know, that's a difficult thing. Love your enemy? You know, we tend to want to, retaliate against our enemy or take revenge on our enemy or maybe hate our enemy. But the voice of the Lord comes and says, love your enemy. What I want to do is I want to say, Lord, let me hear this. Not just hear the words, but hear it. Hear it deep inside. Hear it so that it moves me to take action. That's what hear really means. One time Jesus told the guys, the Pharisees, you don't hear me because you don't comprehend my sayings. And it didn't mean they didn't understand his words. They didn't really grasp the heart of it. Hear me. My dad used to say something like this. Boys, don't go out in the street or I'm going to spank you. Do you hear me? What do you think he meant by that? See, he meant like comprehend and don't do it. His hearing carried with it the idea of obedience. And so when Jesus said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, he's looking for a response. Hear what he says. The leaders are to raise a voice like a trumpet. Isaiah 58, verse 1. It says, raise your voice like a trumpet. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion. You see, there again is a voice like a trumpet. In Ezekiel 33, verse 4, it says, if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning. You see, there's that idea again. The trumpet's blowing. The enemy's coming, the enemy's coming, and you say, well, whatever. See, you hear it, but you don't heed it, then the Bible says your blood would be upon your own head. So when God speaks to us, when God leads us, when God brings guidance to our life, he's really looking for a response. Something out of our heart that says, yes, Lord. Now, I need to look on my phone here because I printed these notes out and this half of this page didn't print. I know there's more on this sermon because I haven't hit my best point yet. Hang on one second. All right. The last thing I want to share with you is I've seen here in this study more than ever before a new truth to me that I would like to share with you about the leading of God. And it's sometimes when you think about I need some direction from the Lord, or I want God's guidance, oftentimes that's linked to something like, wonder what job I will have. I wonder if God would guide me to a job, or I wonder if I should marry this person, or I wonder if I should go here or there for my vacation. You know, I mean, we link the idea of guidance oftentimes to, you know, moving somewhere or a direction, going this way, going that way. But I feel, I mean, after reading some of this, and that's, I'm not saying that's not valid, but I think that God has a greater purpose in leading us than just, what am I going to have for lunch today, Lord? How many of you feel like God's got a bigger plan than that? I'm not sure what socks I should be wearing, Lord. You know, maybe he cares about that, but listen to what it says here. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you. Now, we know he led them from camp to camp, right? There was like 42 different camps that he led them to with that pillar. They would get up and leave, and they would follow. But he led them all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. But you see, there was a greater purpose than just location. It was bigger than this camp or that camp. He said, he led you to humble you. So I'm wondering if maybe the leading of the Lord has a lot more to do with what's happening in my heart and my relationship with him than it really has to do with what location I happen to be standing in at any given point in my life. Not that those things aren't important, but the Lord never once said there, I led you so you would know where you would need to be location-wise. He said, the reason I led you is I wanted to humble you, because God gives grace to the humble. When there's pride in our life, the Bible says that God resists us. So to me, if God's leading in my life brings humility, I say, praise God for it. And sometimes that goes through trial and hardship. But that's what God was leading me to. Not that I would be in this location, but that my heart would be changed. That was his leading all along. To humble you and to test you. I don't know about you, but a lot of people don't like to take tests. We used to have a teacher in our school that had these things they called, what was that called? Huh? Pop quiz. Yes, a pop quiz. You come in there, you're expecting to just hang out, pop quiz today, and it's going to count for 25% of your grade. It's like, oh, no, now what? Now what do you do? You know, pop quiz. But the Lord does test us. And what's he testing? He says, I want to know what's in your heart. He leads me to test me. Whether I live here or there, go to that school or this school, wear this sock or that sock, God wants to test me. He wants to see what's inside my heart. And so his leading is about that. What's going on in your heart, Kirk? This is what I care about. This is a part of you that's eternal. What's happening there? So he's testing you to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commands. That's how he led him. He humbled you, causing you to hunger. What? God causing you to hunger. And then feeding you with manna. What was manna? It was like this white bread or like a seed or something that would show up on the ground in the morning when the dew would rise. These people had never seen it before. They're wanting meat and they're wanting leeks and garlic and all that. And the Lord decided to give them this manna, which was like a white powder, and they would go and they'd pick it up and they'd eat it. And the Lord said, I wanted to cause you to hunger, but then I fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors knew. Listen, to teach you something. See, the leading was to teach me something, to humble me, to see what was in my heart. That's what he led me for. For 40 years, he said, he led you for these reasons, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. I want you to know there's something more important than bread. And so, yeah, I'm going to let you hunger for a while. I'm going to give you some manna. But I'm teaching you something here. that life is about something more than what you're eating. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? So when you think about being led by the Lord in your life for the future, maybe ask this question: Lord, what is it that you're wanting to do in me? Lead me in whatever I need to be led into, whatever that looks like, to bring humility, to show what's really in my heart. Help me understand eternal perspective, not just things of this life. Lead me there, Lord. I think that's really cool. Let me see here. In Deuteronomy 29, it says, verse 5, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out. How many parents would love to have some of those? Your clothes did not wear out for 40 years. Nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord. It says, I led you for 40 years. I want you to know that I'm God. That's the purpose of leading. One of them. To test me, to humble me, to see what's in my heart, but to show me that He is God. And if the leading of God in your life helps you to understand and recognize and realize that He is the Lord, praise God for it. I believe the Lord led my wife and I to Alaska when we got out of high school. But it wasn't that we would live in Alaska. I thought I was going to be a mountain man. I read all the books I had. I knew how to live off the land because I read about it. There were even drawings on there what these plants look like. No problem. But when we got there, you know what the Lord led me there for? That I would know that He is the Lord. He saved us up there. I didn't go there to get saved, but it was His leading. But He let us know, I am the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 31, it says, in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. What if God's purpose in leading you is to show you that He is a loving father? I talk to so many people who have grown up with either no father or maybe a bad relationship with their father, and for whatever reason, that affects their relationship to God. And Jesus is saying here, like He taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. It's a relationship of father and son or daughter. It's father. And He says He led them and He carried them like a father carries a son. What if all the leading in your life is simply to show you in the end, I'm your father? Wouldn't that be awesome? And so I'm closing now. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, it says this, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Now, when you think of famine, what do you think of? No food, right? There's no food. I will send a famine through the land. He said it's not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And so the Lord is saying to us today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. He speaks, He guides, He gives us His word, He's given us His Holy Spirit. Sometimes He takes us through trial. We don't really have a pillar of fire necessarily, but we do have guidance. But all these things, God is speaking to us so that we can learn to hear and be the people He's called us to be. I'd like you to stand with me as we close in prayer. And I'm wondering if maybe today there's somebody here or some of us who need to say, Lord, I just need to be open to hearing your voice. There are many people don't believe that God speaks today, and maybe you're here and that's what you've learned. But just ask the Lord, speak to me, show me. He wants that relationship. When God speaks to you about something that's difficult, like love your enemy, do it. Say, Lord, I want to hear that. I want to take heed to that, and I want that to become part of my life because you're speaking it because you want to do something in me. See, his leading is about what's going on inside of me. I'm not discounting he leads us to other things, but so often that's what we think totally leading is where I should go and what I should do versus what is it that you're doing in me. Help us recognize that leading so that God's work can be done in our hearts.